Well, the title of our message this morning is, What Does It Mean to Follow? Let's ask God's help. Lord, we do pray that as we come to your word today, that we would understand what it means to follow. And everyone who here, who truly knows Christ as their Savior, would follow with all of their hearts, looking for his every movement, looking for any nuance that Christ would make in our lives, that we would follow even in the small things too. So, Lord, we ask for that. We ask, Lord, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, may they see that there is life in Jesus Christ and they might come to him, that they might drink of the waters of life freely. We pray it in his name. Amen. Well, in your mind, go back to the days of Jesus Christ and the town of Nazareth where Jesus grew up. At 6 years of age, you would begin Bethsaida in the synagogue. At Bethsaida, you would be given a slate, and you would be taught to read, and you would be taught to write. And you would begin to learn the five books of Moses by heart. Like, that's about that much of the Bible by heart. If you're a boy, you'd be learning your father's trade as well, but 5 days a week you would be going to Bethsaida. By age 10, you would have learnt the Torah, that's those first 5 books. You would have learnt them pretty much by heart. And if you're one of the more promising students, you would go from this kind of primary level of studying God's Word to a secondary level. And you would start learning the prophets, and you would start learning the writings like the Psalms and the Proverbs by heart. And once you had mastered the whole of the Old Testament, then you would be open for a kind of tertiary level of education in the Scriptures. And you would be able to choose for yourself a rabbi. Now, you understand that in the world today, there are different denominations and different Christians see the Word of God somewhat differently. Well, it's just the same in Jesus' day. Different rabbis saw the Word of God differently, and so you would choose a rabbi whose teaching you respected, and you would go and ask to be one of his Talmudim. He would then ask you some questions and ask you to stay with him for a while, and he would watch your life. And if he thought that you could be one of his disciples, then he would offer an official invitation. Lek akarai, come, follow me. And you would leave your family, and you would leave your town, and you'd leave your compound, you would leave the synagogue where you had been learning the Word of God from this point, you would leave everything that you knew, and you would follow that rabbi. You would become a Talmudim. You would give your life to be exactly like that rabbi. You would eat what he ate. You would eat in the way that he ate. You would sleep and awake the same way as your rabbi did. You would live with him, and you would learn to understand the Torah and understand God the way that he understood the Torah and God himself. As you followed closely behind him, literally followed in his footsteps, you'd be walking in his dust on those dusty roads of Israel. So they would say to the Talmudim, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. In other words, may you follow closely in his footsteps. You want to be so much like your rabbi that if he picked up a piece of straw to pick his tooth, you would do the same thing. You would follow him everywhere because the rabbi believes that you can be like him. Now, that was the culture of Jesus' day, and Jesus followed some of the culture of his day, but he also cut through some of the culture and set new standards, New Testament standards. Now, Jesus was the rabbi, and the disciples called him rabbi. For example, in Mark chapter 9 and verse 5, we read, then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. But Jesus, as the rabbi, was the one that did the choosing of the disciples. They did not choose him, but he chose them. John 15 and verse 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. That cut across the culture of Jesus' day somewhat. When he chose, he gave the traditional rabbinic invitation of come, follow me, So you see what he was saying to those disciples as he said, come follow me. And he'd say with these kind of words, Matthew 16 and verse 24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. But today, Jesus is no longer physically present with us. And so we might ask the question this morning, what does it mean for us to follow Jesus Christ? Well, we need to answer that question, for we have four baptismal candidates today who are saying that they want to follow Jesus Christ. Some of them have been following Jesus Christ for years, but as they make this public declaration, what are they saying in saying, I am going to follow the Lord Jesus? And what is it for us? Some of us have been baptized and we've said, yes, we're going to follow Christ. What is it for us in saying that we're going to follow him? Well, you know what happens at a wedding. There's one couple up the front and they are saying their vows to each other, but every other couple there is recommitting their vows to each other, or they should be. Well, that's, of course, what we want to do today. As these four come into the baptismal tank and make the vow, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ, then we ought to be saying in our hearts, those of us who have known him and been baptized, yes, I want to recommit myself to do that, to follow him with all of our hearts. Well, the scripture, of course, answers the question, what does it mean to follow? Let me highlight four aspects of following Christ today. Now, there is much more we could say. In fact, the whole of the Bible is about following Christ, and the whole of the Christian life is about learning to follow Christ. But at least this will get us started. The first aspect of following Christ to highlight this morning is come to Christ. Come to Christ. Before we can ever follow him, first of all, we have to come to him. Have you personally ever heard his invitation to you? To you, come, follow me. May you hear his call today. Matthew 11 and verse 28 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When the rabbi called his Talmudim to follow him, the yoke referred to his teaching. The teaching of the Pharisees, which was a cult of Jesus' day, the teaching of the Pharisees was heavy. The rules were strict. The man-made laws of the Pharisees were difficult to follow and hard work. Men labored to meet the external requirements of man-made religion. But Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus' teaching was different to man's religion, for Jesus' teaching was from God. I invite you today to do what John and Tony and Gwen and William have done. I invite you to come to Christ. Come to him. Come to him before you can begin to follow him. If you are tired of mere religion, if you are thirsty for something more, something real in your life, come and drink of the living water so that you may never thirst again. God issued the invitation in the Old Testament to come drink of the living water in Isaiah 55. He said, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, things that don't satisfy, and your wages for what does not satisfy? And Jesus kept issuing this invitation to come and to drink of the living waters. In John 7 and verse 37 we read, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Then you will find satisfaction to your soul. And the last words of the Bible give a final reminder, come. In Revelation 22 and verse 17 it says, "And let him who thirsts come, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin, come to Him. Come, have your thirst quenched, find satisfaction in life. You can do that as you come to Christ. The second aspect of following Christ to highlight this morning is declare your faith in baptism, or declare your faith by the mode of baptism. Once you have come, it's right to declare, I have come to Christ, I belong to Christ, and now I want to follow Him. And the Bible way to declare your faith is baptism. How many verses do you need to establish that it is first belief and then you declare that faith by baptism? I could give you this morning more than 20, but just let's take a couple of examples. Peter's first sermon, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, which was our Bible reading today in your Bibles. Acts 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And then following his first sermon, we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Once a person came to Christ, turning from their sin and turning to faith in Christ, they were baptized. And the pattern in the book of Acts was they were baptized the same day. Why? What's the deal with baptism? Well, all the baptismal candidates have done a Bible study on baptism and we've answered the question, well, what's the deal? Why be baptized? Let me share with you some of the teaching that they have heard. First of all, we answered the question, why be baptized? And the answer to that question is, the reason we are baptized is because it is commanded in the Scripture. We've already heard of Peter commanding, repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. But Jesus also said in Matthew 28 and verse 18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." Doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to absorb all the things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. As they went and made disciples, they were to baptize and they were to teach. So we are baptized because it is commanded. Secondly, when can a person be baptized? When can a person be baptized? And the answer is, when they have believed in Jesus Christ with all of their heart. For example, Philip was led of the Holy Spirit to go and witness to an Ethiopian man who was traveling at the time. And as he was traveling, he started to explain the truth about Jesus Christ to this Ethiopian man. And the Ethiopian man came to believe. And we pick up the account in Acts chapter 8, if you just flip over in your Bibles a couple of chapters. Acts chapter 8 and verse 36. "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch," this is the Ethiopian man, "said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?'" So really this is asking the question, what is the qualification for baptism? What hinders me from being baptized? "Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the Ethiopian went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." There is one requirement for baptism. If you believe with all of your heart, you may be baptized. And obviously the contrary statement is, if you have not yet believed in Jesus Christ, then you may not be baptized. So if we're thinking of something like a baby, people in our society do baptize babies. But the Scripture says that if you do not believe with all your heart, you are not ready for baptism. So baptizing people, any person, including babies, that has not yet believed is against the Scripture. Notice, by the way, that Philip did not sprinkle the Ethiopian man. They went down into the water and they came up out of the water. And of course, we say, of course they went down into the water and up out of the water, because the Greek word baptizo, from which we get our word baptism, means to immerse. So obviously that's what they did. Third, what is the symbolism of baptism? If we're talking about baptism as going under the water and coming up out of the water, what does that symbolize? Answer, going under the water represents a death and burial, and coming up out of the water represents a resurrection. Sprinkling cannot represent death and resurrection. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 explains that this is connected to baptism. Romans 6 and verse 3, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So as Paul there talks about death and burial and resurrection, he talks about baptism, because that is the symbolism in baptism. Baptism thus represents what has happened in the Christian's life. The new Christian has died to his former life and he has risen to a new life in Christ. Matthew 16 and verse 24 that we quoted at the beginning says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. You see, taking up your cross was a symbol of death. Just as we'd speak of the gallows as a symbol of death, the cross to them was a symbol of death. It was the way people were executed to death. And so Jesus says, take up your cross, die and follow me. Come, live the new life in Christ. So the new Christian, and talking, for example, about the baptismal candidates today. So for the new Christian, their old life is dead and gone. It has been buried and now they're living a new life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So baptism symbolizes that death and resurrection that has already happened in the believer's life. So then, baptism becomes a declaration, a testimony, a witness of what God has done in me. He has taken my old life away. He has given me new life in Christ. When they believed, they were baptized in New Testament times, and when people believe today, we still baptize them today. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12 says, But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. They believed, they were baptized. Acts chapter 9 and verse 18. Immediately there fell from his eyes, this is Paul, something like scales. When people see the truth, it's something like scales falling from their eyes. They now can see the truth. And he received his sight at once and he rose and was baptized. And there are more than 20 verses similar. People believed, then they were baptized. So in obedience, in love for the Lord Jesus, and as a testimony, these four candidates are being baptized today. Gwen wrote, I was christened a Methodist and had no religious upbringing at home. No one else from my family went to church, but I was sent to Sunday school on my own. I didn't like going, as I always felt left out. The people at church weren't very friendly and seemed indifferent towards me as a child of 8 years. The only Christian influence I had was from my grandmother, who I was very close to. She was crippled with arthritis and we spent a lot of time talking. And often she would talk about Jesus as God. And she had great faith and she read the Bible every day. I grew up living a very moral life and life was good, but never really bothering to find out until my father died in 1980 and grandparents in 1981. I then happened to meet Keith and Mary Gibson, who sowed the seed for me to search further. And we had many Bible studies with them until they moved to northern New South Wales. And becoming lazy and still having doubts, I slid back to my worldly, selfish life, reading the Bible only occasionally, but not having any strong convictions and not wanting to join any church after my previous experience at Sunday school. It wasn't until I started having fellowship with Wayne and Nolene that I truly had conviction to read the Bible and learn fully. And now, honestly, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And this is the test me, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I now want to read the Bible more, and I realize I need Him. I now have peace in my heart. Even when we lost our granddaughter Taylor, I didn't falter in my faith, and I trusted in Him. Throughout my life, I have had opportunities to come to know the Lord, but have always turned away to continue my own selfish ways, thinking I didn't really need Him and always having doubts. I'm glad this time He has persevered to bring me to know Him. And also I'm fortunate to have found a wonderful church family who are so caring and kind. I really feel blessed. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. I now want to be baptized because I want everyone to know I'm a Christian. And William wrote something very similar. He said, I now want to be baptized because I want everyone to know I'm saved. My decision to become baptized was when I was at a week-long camp in July holidays for a leadership course in Boys Brigade. After we finished worship, the chaplain said that we can stay and talk or we can go back to our cabins at any time. I decided to stay and I wanted to confess my sin and to find out more about the Lord. While I was thinking, my leader came up to me and sat down and we started talking. I said to him, I know that when I give God my life, it will work out. And even if I get tempted and confess sins or I lose someone close to me, I can trust God with my life even then. As it says in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, and he quoted the same verses as Gwen, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. So we prayed, thanking God for His blessings and giving God control of my life. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we're going to hear from Tony and John a little bit later. So then, first, I must come to Christ, and then having come to Christ, I will want to be baptized as a public test me that I want to follow Him with my life. That is the beginning of come and follow me. So maybe there is someone else here today that hasn't reached that second step, that maybe they haven't reached the first step, maybe they need to trust Christ, maybe there's someone who needs to follow through on baptism, they're already a believer. But they need to publicly declare that. Already I know of two people saying, yes, I want to publicly acknowledge my faith in Christ. And Lord willing, we'll see them baptized next year as well. Won't you join them? Won't you consider that it's the right thing to publicly declare your faith? The third aspect of following Christ to mention this morning is live in righteousness. Come to Christ, declare your faith in baptism, and live in righteousness. Rabbi, Jesus the Messiah said of His Talmudim in John chapter 10 and verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Not rocket science. They know the Lord, and they follow Him. The disciple always follows his master. They listen to what he says, and they obey, just like a sheep following its shepherd in Israel. And where does the shepherd lead? Well, of course, he's going to lead in paths of righteousness. Psalm 23 and verse 3 says, He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. First, He saves the sheep, restores their soul, and then He leads the sheep in paths of righteousness. And the emphasis there is righteousness for His name's sake. This has to be so because the shepherd who is leading is righteous. He is the good shepherd. Hebrews 4 and verse 15 says, "For we have a high priest who was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Our rabbi has no sin. He is righteous. He is holy. Hebrews 7 and verse 26, "For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens." So he is going to lead in paths of righteousness. Ephesians 4, 1 and verse 4 confirms that. "Just as he chose us in him, that we should be holy," or righteous, "and without blame before him in love." And 1 Peter 1, 15, "But as he called you is holy, so you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" So obviously, if we're going to follow Christ, we're going to walk in paths of righteousness, in paths of holiness. In following him, we will be holy in thought. It begins in the thought and it works out in the life. In regard to thought, Philippians 4 and verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." That's what our thought life should be like. It should be holy. And in following him, we're going to follow the moral standards of the Ten Commandments, because we're going to live a holy life. To one young man, Jesus said in Mark chapter 10 and verse 19, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." Come and follow. He issues that invitation to this young man also. So we're going to live in those standards of the Ten Commandments. And in following him, we will disapprove of sin. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. "And they," speaking of our world today, "they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." It's just as wicked to approve of sin as to do the sin. And so if we walk in paths of righteousness with him, we cannot approve of sin. In fact, we're going to have to bring, it comes back to our thought life, we're going to have to bring every thought in captivity to obedience of Christ, because that's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. We will be utterly holy, for he is holy. We will turn our backs on the world, and we will love him, as we sang earlier, "I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back." And we'll love him with all of our hearts. 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That's what it means to follow Christ in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Our work ethics will be holy. Our family relationships will be holy. Our worship will be holy. Our entertainments will be holy. Our pastimes are going to be holy. Everything that we do will be in paths of righteousness. That's what it means to follow Christ. Holy is not living in a monastery. Holy is not wearing a dog collar. Holiness is not found in external things like buildings and clothing. Holiness is found, first of all, in the heart. And that heart holiness will work out into fruit of holiness, fruits of righteousness in our lives, as Philippians 1:10 says, "That you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." The fourth aspect of following Christ to mention this morning is serve faithfully. Serve faithfully. Come to Christ. Declare our faith in baptism. Walk in paths of righteousness or live in righteousness and serve faithfully. Very simply, Jesus said to Peter, Andrew, James and to John in Matthew 4 and verse 19, "Follow me. and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and you will be serving me. And in Matthew 9 and verse 9, we read, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he rose and followed Jesus. Matthew put Christ first. He left whatever he was doing and he went to serve Christ with all of his heart. He let Christ take precedence over all the things of the world. And that's what Jesus was teaching in Luke chapter 9 and verse 59. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first, you might want to circle those words, me first, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go preach the kingdom of God. In other words, let the world be concerned about worldly things. You be concerned about spiritual things. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first, circle those words, me first again, go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We are to preach the kingdom of God if we are following Christ. And the candidates having put your hand to the plow, deciding to follow Christ, do not turn back. Follow him with all of your heart. Following and serving are inseparable. John 12:26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. It's that idea of even if the rabbi takes a toothpick to pick his tooth, we will do the same. If we see a hint of Jesus Christ doing something, we'll want to follow him there. Are you starting to get the picture of what is required of a disciple of Jesus Christ? It is nothing less than a total dedication. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life, you want to keep control of your life? You will lose it. But whoever loses his life, you give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. You give your life to Christ and you get it back again. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's glory, that is, and of the holy angels. So then, having made a public commitment to follow Christ by baptism, none of us should ever, none of us, and I'm speaking wider than the candidates today, if you've said you're going to follow Christ, none of us should ever go back on our words. But what if I have drifted? We'll admit it, confess that to him, and get back on track of following Christ with everything in your being. He is worthy. May all of us walk in the dust of Jesus Christ because we follow that closely. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this is a hard thing, I guess, and none of us could do it except Jesus Christ comes in to enable us to follow. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, we would forget the world's distractions and we would have eyes for Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and we would follow him with all of our hearts. I pray for every person here today, many of whom I don't know or have only met occasionally, Lord. I pray that each one would determine now, our regular folk, children, adults, all, Lord, would determine to follow Jesus Christ with all of their hearts. And in his name we pray, amen.